The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 01111911.
.507 on the Central Coast on this Wednesday, November 30th, 2022. I'm Dave Congleton. Thanks for joining us. I'm just reminding you of the story we have been telling you throughout the show, that County Clerk Recorder Elena Cano announced earlier today that the next count of the ballots will be a week from today, next Wednesday, December 7th. So Mike Nolan, attorney, is going to be joining us tomorrow during this time slot to try to figure out exactly what is going on here. Mike's been doing some research to figure out how our county compares to other counties in California in terms of counting the ballots. And apparently there's only like four other counties, including L.A. County, who haven't finished with their counts yet. So anyway, we're staying on top of that story. We'll talk more about it tomorrow. Still to come on this broadcast, Sandy Boo is going to be with us during the 6 o'clock hour, asking the question about whether or not we place too much emphasis on a college degree, and noting that more and more employers are saying, in this country at least, that a college degree is not as important as it used to be. And Sandy thinks that's a good idea, and she's going to explore it. It is a Dave Congleton show, always your hometown radio talk show. Speaking of always, always good to be in conversation with the one, the only, Mr. Dan Shadwell, who joins us once again. Dan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dave.
How are you, sir?
Doing well. Just to dovetail on that that whole value of a higher education question, I mean, I think some of the events that we've been seeing recently may cause some to question the value of a law degree from Yale.
Explain.
If you catch my drift. Stuart Rhodes, of course, the founder of the Oath Keepers, just convicted of seditious conspiracy, possibly could face 20 years in prison just for that one conviction, and there are others. But he is a former Army Ranger, but also a Yale Law School grad, and you have to imagine that lots of folks at Yale are cringing after seeing and witnessing all of this that has unfolded since January 6th.
Something tells me he won't get the Alumni of the Year award.
No, he's going to have to do some kind of big legacy gift, I think, to even I don't know what recourse they have, honestly.
But, well, I reach out to Dan. On this story, I'm calling this Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. This just sounds like a joke. You have a former president, Kanye West, and Nick Fuentes all sitting down to dinner. And you're thinking, well, geez, the media's just making too big a deal out of this. But here it is more than a week later. And now it's being called a political nightmare. I'm at the point now I'm actually beginning to feel sorry for former President Trump, because from what I've been reading, Dan, it seems like he may have been set up. So for people who have just tuned this out and have no idea what we're talking about, what apparently happened in this so-called private dinner?
Okay, well, a couple days before Thanksgiving, Donald Trump and Kanye West, now known as Ye or Ye, I guess, depending on how you pronounce it, they were going to apparently have dinner. And just for clarity, I'm just going to continue to call him Kanye. Anyway, Kanye apparently brought along a couple of guests. One of them, I suppose, was a parent of a child who was in one of Kanye's, in some kind of a school that Kanye has here in California. I don't know much about that, but apparently it's been shut down now since this whole thing. Anyway, so Kanye brings along this parent of some kid that's going to his school, and then also Nick Fuentes, who is a fairly well-known anti-Semite and white nationalist. So you know, so what has happened, of course, is that any time Trump has dinner, he apparently positions himself at this table out on the patio where virtually everybody at Mar-a-Lago in this main dining room can see and watch, and then he typically interacts with folks before and after the dinner. So this was a very public meeting between Trump and these other characters. And there's been a real firestorm afterwards, as you can imagine. Why is a former president sitting down with Kanye West, who has made all sorts of anti-Semitic remarks recently, but then on top of that, he brings with him a white nationalist who is also anti-Semitic? And, I mean, this calls into question, obviously, you know, what on earth is he doing if he really does want to run for president, which he had announced about a week before that? And on top of that, who is advising him? Who's allowing him to sit down with these folks? And doggone it, what sort of judgment does he have that he thinks that this would be a good idea anyway?
The former president said he didn't know Nick Fuentes or anything about his background when they had the dinner.
Right, but Kanye has said all sorts of anti-Semitic things just recently, which is part of the reason that he's lost, you know, a huge portion of his net worth, apparently, by sacrificing all of these sponsorships, all of these companies that were just horrified by Kanye's anti-Semitic remarks. So, you know, I don't know if this is just kind of a big overt play for more support from white supremacists or racists in the Republican Party or in the far right wings. It's a little confusing, but the crazy thing is that if he really wants to try to run for president again, what he needs to be doing is appealing to moderate Republicans and independents, and hopefully, you know, drawing across the aisle again some Democrats who had originally voted for Obama back in the day and then decided to switch allegiance and vote for Trump the first time in 2016. Instead, this is just polarizing not only the Republican Party, but it casts Trump as just kind of a, I don't know.
I want to go to this theory about Milo Yiannopoulos, and folks might remember that name because when he came to Cal Poly, that was such controversy. Yiannopoulos apparently is now taking credit, claiming that he deliberately sabotaged the dinner by arranging for Fuentes to be part of the group. He did this deliberately to embarrass Trump. Do you give any credibility to that?
Well, you know, honestly, this whole story is so crazy. I'm struggling a bit to decide what is legitimate and what is not. Yiannopoulos, if nothing else, is very good at self-promotion. And he clearly has figured out that as a campaign advisor, and I put that in quotes, to Kanye West, to Ye, now, who has also expressed interest in running for president again. And by the way, that all came up in this dinner conversation and led to some kind of big argument with Trump, because Kanye was suggesting that Trump ought to be his running mate, meaning Trump would run for vice president. Yeah. You can imagine that went over like a lead balloon. Anyway, it would not be, I don't think, all that surprising, given what a kind of a bomb thrower Yiannopoulos has been traditionally, that he would try to set up something that would stir a big mess in the press, which this certainly is.
Well, let me quote the article here. Yiannopoulos told NBC News that he arranged for the dinner, quote, just to make Trump's life miserable because news of the dinner would leak and Trump would mishandle it. So at that point, I feel sorry for Trump. I just feel sorry for the guy.
I think you're a little further down that path than I am, Dave. Yeah. But I would just say that if that is really true, he is one of the very few people who considers himself to be, I guess, a conservative, who has been willing to be that forwardly aggressive against the former president. Because if you listen to members of Congress, including Kevin McCarthy, who'd like to be Speaker of the House, whether that's going to happen or not, we don't know. But his comments, as well as Mitch McConnell's, they've been very, very tepid, very lukewarm about, we don't think it's a good idea for anybody to be meeting with white supremacists and anti-Semites, but they don't even mention Trump by name.
Yes, but But McConnell said words to the effect that no candidate who makes anti-Semitic comments should ever be elected president.
Right. But then when asked, would he support him, he didn't really say. He got very quiet. If Trump were to win the nomination, the question, you know, the jury's still out as to whether McConnell would support him or not. And at this point, it sounds like it's still up in the air.
Yeah. I'm struck by the fact, I didn't do this intentionally, but it's just the way it worked out, having you talk about this following Gordon Mullen, who was just here about Israel. And the vast majority of callers called in and talked about how we need to stand up to anti-Semitism and how we need to support Israel and support the Jewish people. And mm-hmm. I agree with all that. And so then you juxtapose that with this situation. It's like, what are we missing here?
Well, it's very confusing. I mean, this is part of the difficulty, I think, that the Republican Party is trying to sort through, because so many of their traditional stances have just been completely thrown into this big mixed salad of confusion. And I don't know that even many traditional Republicans recognize the platform anymore.
All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and continue our conversation with Dan Shadwell. I'm Dave Congleton on AM 920 FM 96.5, News Talk KVEC. Five 20 on News Talk 920 KVEC. I'm Dave Congleton. Always good to be in conversation with Dan Shadwell. I'm just calling this segment Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, and how a private dinner with former President Trump a couple days before Thanksgiving still has traction following Thanksgiving. And part of that, Dan, as we're back with you, is that I don't think we've done full justice to Nick Fuentes, who's more than anti-Semitic. He's a Holocaust denier.
Yes, this is a person who has gone way down the conspiracy theory rabbit holes and has completely enshrouded himself with all sorts of really despicable, in my view, points of view. And here's another thing that occurred to me as I was kind of listening to all the coverage about all this. What on earth is going on with the Secret Service? Because Trump, as an ex-president, of course, has Secret Service detail. But on top of that now, because he has just announced that he's running for president again, you have to imagine that the Secret Service, probably still stinging a bit from the revelations that have come out in the January 6th subcommittee hearings, that they were apparently forcibly trying to take Trump back to the White House when he wanted to storm the Capitol. Anyway, there are all of these bits of testimony that suggest that there were inappropriate, maybe leanings in the Secret Service that were pro-Trump, and the fact that the day of January 6th, so many of the Secret Service text messages were all deleted. You have to imagine that the Secret Service is just in crisis, trying to figure out what the heck they're supposed to do with Trump. When he has, you know, some of these clowns coming in and out of Mar-a-Lago all the time. But my gosh, you would think that at the very least they would thoroughly be screening people, and and Ye shows up with Fuentes and some guy who's a parent of a child or you know, kid at Kanye's school in California. I mean, it just seems like there's just a bunch of randos kind of wandering in and out, meeting with the president. And
but yeah, what I read
seems dangerous.
What I read is that the Secret Service position was that Mar-a-Lago is responsible for providing its own security and screening.
Well, sure, but in Mar-a-Lago, yes. I mean, with all of the top secret documents that were being stored there and everything else, yeah, you would imagine, yeah, hopefully Mar-a-Lago's security is stepping it up. But when it really comes down to it, the Secret Service is responsible for the safety of the president, and he shouldn't be just meeting with random people. I mean, to hear Trump explain it anyway, he says, oh, I didn't even have any idea who this Nick Fuentes guy was. Mm. Well, if that's really true, then the Secret Service is not doing its job.
On the Stolberg line, listener number one writes, the former president deserves any criticism coming his way for surrounding himself with quacks and fools.
Dan? Well, I think that's I think that's legitimate. I mean, you know, here's the thing. You can pick your period in the Trump presidency, both during and after, and you're going to be able to find just a clown circus of people who should not have been advising Trump about much of anything. And you can jump off with Sidney Powell. You could talk about Rudy Giuliani to some degree, certainly Michael Flynn, all of these people who are urging Trump to just seize voting machines and try to bring about the Sedition Act, which is what, of course, Stuart Rhodes was claiming that was his incentive for bringing the Oath Keepers to the Capitol on January 6th. I mean, virtually throughout the Trump presidency, there have been people of very questionable background and credentials coming into the White House to meet with Trump, and he's embraced so many of them, too. It's just really kind of mind-boggling.
Which kind of addresses the next text on the Stolberg line. I'll rephrase this. The listener is arguing that we keep anti-Trump news alive longer than it needs to be. And I would start by pointing out that just yesterday, McConnell and McCarthy finally came out with their comments. Mm-hmm. And there has been a steady drumbeat from Republicans, and I want to say this to their credit, is that everybody from Mitt Romney to others have condemned all this.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't found anybody who's defending him yet.
Yeah, I mean, you can argue that the right-thinking Republicans have been absolutely on the money for months now, if not years, calling out what was going on in the Trump administration, but also this embrace of these far-right, radical, nationalist, racist viewpoints. It's really astonishing. And all you have to do is just look at how Trump really embraced Vladimir Putin, trying to claim that it was such a great idea for him to be good friends with Vladimir Putin, and look at how all that's worked out and where we are.
Well, let's go back to the dinner. The 90 seconds before the news break, I want to make clear what you're saying here, Dan, because text number three on the Stolberg line, a listener is pointing out all the things that Trump has done for Israel. So, Dan, are you suggesting that Trump is anti-Semitic or simply that he has poor judgment in dining companions?
Well, it's a little bit hard to square, certainly, because his own daughter now is a convert to Judaism. Of course, Jared Kushner is Jewish. So he clearly has a lot of Jewish people around him and has embraced a lot of Jewish people. Apparently, historically, he had mentioned years ago, back when he was facing a federal lawsuit for discrimination in his rental properties, that he only wanted Jews counting his money. He didn't want anybody who was black counting his money. So, you know, take your pick. It's pretty despicable stuff across the board.
All right, so I guess the answer to that is that you do think Trump is anti-Semitic.
I think his whole situation is so confusing. It's really hard to know what the heck he's thinking, and I'm frankly not sure that he is thinking that much. And if you listen to the former chiefs of staff who said he never read his presidential daily brief. In fact, he couldn't even have it read to him without losing his attention span and wandering off on these bizarre conversations. It's not hard to really imagine that he just really doesn't have a very clear idea about much of anything.
Maybe Mike Pence was right. If you go out to dinner, take your wife with you. Hold that thought, Dan Shadwell. It's a guess who's coming to dinner. That's our topic. We've got Dan Shadwell here, and you're here as well. We go to news and traffic and weather. We'll continue our conversation with Dan and invite more of your text messages and welcome your phone calls. This is Hometown Radio. Sandy Boo joins us at 6:05, asking the question, do we place too much emphasis on getting a college degree and our culture? And if the answer is yes, what do we do about it? Mike Nolan, attorney, and he does a lot of election work over the years, joins us tomorrow. We're going to have to wait another week to find out the District 2 results and Lucia Moore School Board results. What is happening with our local election process? Also, Brent Burchett from the Farm Bureau joins us to preview next Tuesday's ever-increasing important County Board of Supervisors meeting. There's a lot right there. We're busy. That's why we need 4 hours a day to do this show. I'm Dave Congleton. Dan Shadwell is here. We're just talking about guess who's coming to dinner. We have been talking about the controversy surrounding former President Trump and his dinner with Kanye West and Holocaust denier at Mar-a-Lago and the Republican response. 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832 if you want in on the conversation. Sandra's on KVEC. Hi, Sandra.
Hi, Dave.
Hi.
So, you know, I have to say that we're all focused on this David, this person, Fuentes, coming to Mar-a-Lago. But what we're failing to talk about is that Kanye West, or Ye, whatever his name is clearly in a manic state. And, you know, he is destroying himself financially. And he is hanging around with these anti-Semitic people and just self-destructing. And there is nobody to stop this guy. And what is going to happen is that once he gets out of this manic state, he is going to go into the depressive state. And he could potentially end up committing suicide after he realizes what he's done to himself. The other thing is that what I do fault President Trump for is that he is showing poor judgment. Anybody can see that this gentleman is ill right now. The other thing is that is so sad is that the media is just running away with the stories and, you know, what Kanye West is doing this and President Trump and all of that. And it's just really, really sad because clearly this man is sick and needs help.
All right. What do you say to this, Dan?
Well, that may be true. I think Kanye West, even people who have worked with him in the past have indicated that he's not all there. Obviously I'm not a psychologist or psychiatrist, so I have no idea about what the diagnosis of that would be. But I think the bigger question here is when you have somebody who is seeking to be the most powerful man on earth again, by seeking the American presidency, you have to really ask yourself whether Ye or Yee is mentally competent or not. I think almost sort of takes a back seat to the question of what kind of judgment does this person have, and why on earth? I mean, let's just step back for a second, Dave. I mean, imagine that you had been spotted in a restaurant in San Luis Obispo having dinner with a racist, with a known white supremacist and anti-Semite. Do you think there wouldn't be enormous blowback and possibly serious detriment to your career?
And yeah, I take the point. And Sandra, I think Dan's on to something here. A lot of people are upset about Kanye West, but I think more people are upset about Nick Fuentes, a Holocaust denier.
Right, exactly. You know, and I agree with what you just said. I don't expect, you know, you could go and have dinner with somebody. Like, he just made the point that if you were caught with somebody having dinner with someone who's an anti-Semitic, right? Like, you wouldn't know everybody here in San Luis Obispo. So you could be sitting with somebody who is an anti-Semitic and not know that person. But the thing is, again, we go to the point of what we're saying, we're talking about is judgment. Right. Clearly, President Trump, after everything that's been happening in the news in regards to Kanye West, prior to this incident inviting him to Mar-a-Lago, Kanye West had made the news about making anti-Semitic comments. Yeah. Why would he associate himself with Kanye West at this point and at this point in time.
That's why we're talking about this. Always good to hear from you, Sandra. Drive carefully. 805-543-8830. 800-549-5832. Paul is in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Paul.
Hello, Dave.
Hey, Paul.
Hello, Dan.
Hi.
Hey, Paul.
I'm glad you brought up the fact that Trump's daughter, you know, which most people would probably say that she is his favorite daughter, she converted to Judaism. And his grandchildren from her are Jewish. And here he is. I mean, so let's just forget about Nick Fuentes for just a second. Say Trump didn't know who he was. He knows who Kanye West is. Kanye West famously said that he was going to go DEFCON 3 on the Jews.
Right.
And that's well known. And so here's this guy and has said a lot of anti-Semitic things in the recently, and Trump's got a Jewish daughter, Jewish grandkids, and he still agrees to have dinner with Kanye. And to me, that speaks of one thing. Everybody says that Trump is a gigantic narcissist who only cares about himself. And I think this further proves the point. If anybody had any doubt, here we have the proof. Trump only cares about himself and nobody else. He doesn't even care about his own daughter or his grandkids. He will have dinner with an anti-Semite like Kanye West and this other clown and who basically hate his daughter and his grandkids.
You address that, Dan.
No, I, Paul, I think you're absolutely right about that. And part of this, I think, also speaks to the fact that Trump doesn't seem to be able to see people of differing backgrounds as anything other than monolithic. And by that, I mean he sees Kanye, I think, as a gateway to the black vote. But doesn't seem to even understand that even within the African American community, Kanye is very polarizing, and I think the same to some degree with the Jewish vote. I think he embraces his daughter and his son-in-law, but doesn't seem to understand that that hanging out with people that may be popular with a fringe group in the Republican Party who are anti-Semitic creates a real contradiction.
Yeah. What else, Paul?
Well, the last point I'd like to make is these people who are continually apologizing for Trump, this we know. Trump, everybody's made it clear to Trump that this guy's an anti-Semite. This Nick Fuentes is a jerk who has said awful things about people. Went to the Charlottesville riot and marched with people and said, the Jews will not replace us. And Trump has had multiple opportunities over the last week and a half to distance himself from this guy and say, you know what, I repudiate this guy. I don't agree with anything he says. And totally distance himself from this guy and criticize. And Trump has not done it yet.
All right. Paul, thank you. 805-543-8830. By the way, happy birthday to Will. It's his birthday today. He's going to dinner, but he's still listening to us. We appreciate that, Will. Mike is in Los Osos on KVEC. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Dave. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Mike.
Hey there.
Yeah, I don't really understand what Trump is thinking, as far as where Kanye is right now and his anti-Semitic remarks and sitting down with them. Not a good look. No excuses, really. The Nick Fuentes thing. I don't know if that was a setup by Kanye or. If Trump knew, I can't say.
Well, apparently, Mike, if I may, we were talking about this earlier. Yeah, Milo Yiannopoulos is taking credit for setting this up to try to deliberately embarrass Trump because he thought that Trump would mishandle it and that the press would jump all over it.
Well, it worked, if that's the case. I saw that, too. The reason I'm calling is, you know, basically Dan is a big defender of mainstream media and, you know, an expert on it. And I find it appalling and funny at the same time that, you know, that there's all this outrage, which is justified, don't get me wrong. But, you know, Louis Farrakhan is a hero of the left. Louis Farrakhan, we have pictures of him smiling arm in arm with Obama at Aretha Franklin's funeral. He's sitting there with Bill Clinton and prominent Democrats. He's welcomed with open arms. He called Jews termites on Twitter. He is a rabid anti-Semite, and the media says zero.
Then how is
a double standard.
If the media said zero, how do you know about it, Mike?
Right-wing media.
Okay. Dan, comment, please.
I think you'd be hard pressed to find anybody who is progressive.
Your corner, Dan.
I think you'd be very hard pressed.
He's trying to respond, Mike. I think you'd be very hard pressed to
find anybody in the mainstream media who would have said Louis Farrakhan's views that were anti-Semitic were somehow laudable or were worthy of anything other than just all sorts of criticism. So and here's the other thing: when you talk about what was going on at Aretha Franklin's funeral, Bill Clinton didn't coordinate that, and so I mean the fact that you've got people of varying backgrounds doesn't necessarily mean that they're cooperating. But here's a situation where you got Donald Trump inviting Kanye West, and maybe there was some kind of a situation where Kanye was punking Donald Trump via Milo Yiannopoulos. I suppose that's possible. I mean, the crazy thing is that Kanye or Ye has almost zero chance of becoming president. So the whole thing is just theatrics. But,
yeah. All right.
You know, here we are.
Mike, what else?
Blatant double standard. I find it just hilarious. But thanks for taking my call.
The other difference, Mike, is that Obama and these guys you mentioned are not running for president. Trump is. He declared.
No, Obama. The picture with Obama was either before or during his presidency. It just the picture wasn't released until after because he was protected. Same with the tape of Obama endorsing Rashid Khalidi, a terrorist that the LA Times sat on. So that's all fake. You guys got cornered, and this is just embarrassing. You got to admit when you're wrong.
You got us, Mike. You got us. We have this complete political agenda. Always good to hear from you. 805-543-8830. 800-549-5832. We go to Vita in Los Osos. Hi, Vita.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. I just kind of got in on this, but Trump was, I believe, quoted as saying he didn't know who this guy Nick Fuentes is. I thought I read that. He had no idea what his views are. So people are invited to dinner at Mar-a-Lago, and they're not vetted, and he doesn't know who the guest list is and has no idea. I mean, come on now. That just doesn't make any sense to me. He obviously knew who the guy is, and I think, like Dan has spelled it out, he just doesn't connect the dots. He doesn't see how this is making him look really, really bad. So, yeah, that's just the only comment I had.
Dan, what do you say?
No, Vita, I think that's part of the concern. And you know, I remember back when George W. Bush was running for office, and so many people said when they were asked in polling questions, you know, how do you decide who you'd rather have in the White House? So many people said, well, you know, W seems like a guy I'd like to go have a beer with. But I think when you consider what the stakes are in the world today and how complicated and very demanding that job really is, we need to have people who are showing good judgment. And I think you're right, Vita. I think, you know, the idea that he would be sitting down to dinner in a very public setting with racists and anti-Semitic folks. It should be disqualifying. And that's, I guess, the point that we keep waiting for the Republican Party to just say out loud in front of everybody. It's disqualifying. Trump should not be president again, period.
Yeah.
Well, Netanyahu seemed to like Trump a lot. I wonder what he thinks about this. I wonder if he will still support him in his run for presidency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It'll be interesting to find out.
It's an interesting question. There are lots of folks around the world, a lot of nationalists, I think in some cases very dangerous people who would embrace Trump. And you don't even have to go to North Korea. You can just look at Bolsonaro and a whole variety of other people around the world who had kind of taken on dictatorial tendencies and modeling their behavior and their campaigns on what Trump had done.
Thank you.
Vita, thank you. We'll come back for a final segment with Mr. Shadwell. I'm Dave Congleton. This is KVEC Radio. Dan Shadwell joins us as we're doing Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. We're talking about the infamous Mar-a-Lago dinner between former President Trump and Kanye West and Nick Fuentes, who's a Holocaust denier. And Mike, if you're still listening, I looked up the Farrakhan Obama. And Dan, I don't know if you know the story, but this photo is from 2005. Obama hadn't even announced as a presidential candidate. We're talking, in this case, about a former president of the United States who announced that he was running for re-election. I don't see this as a fair comparison. I'm not saying that the media didn't downplay the relationship between Obama and Farrakhan, but I don't think it's exactly the same. Do you?
No, I don't see it the same as the same. And also what I would point out is that afterwards, Obama expressed regret for having interacted with Mr. Farrakhan, specifically for that reason. So, the two are not the same. I mean, you don't have Obama agreeing to sit down with people who embrace hate or racist ideology at all. I mean, that's just, we're talking about two completely different universes here.
805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832 if you want in on the conversation with Dan Shadwell. On the Stolberg line, listener has a legitimate question. How did Nick Fuentes end up getting so much press at the age of 24 years old?
Well, you can look at Milo Yiannopoulos, who is also, very young. I believe he's in his early 30s or even maybe late 20s still. If you go out and you are good at social media and getting into the right sort of spaces and certain right-wing media sources, and you spew enough hatred and enough conspiracy theories, you're going to be able to build a little bit of momentum.
All right.
I mean, that's the sad truth.
Let's squeeze in a couple more calls here. We've got Gary on KVEC. Hi, Gary.
Hey, hi, Dave.
Hi, Gary.
Adding on to what Vita was saying about Trump not being able to put things together and figure it out, I think the really important point here is that Trump absolutely positively does not care, and his supporters absolutely positively do not care. So it's people that don't support him, independents and others, Democrats, whatever, they are the ones that are going to have to pull away from this because he's not going to change, his supporters aren't going to change, and I think that extends out forever. So it's up to everyone else to walk away and say enough of this.
All right, Gary, I appreciate the call. I'm going to ask Dan for a short response.
I think that's true. I think that's one of the things that we have learned about President Trump, ex-President Trump now, that he really didn't understand or care for the institutions that keep our democracy safe and healthy and moving forward. And what we're seeing now is just kind of a crazy, throw it at the wall and see if it sticks kind of approach to his next run for presidency. And, right. His fan base has to decide if they're going to stay with him.
We go to Danny in the Pomo. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Dave.
Hi.
So, my overall comment, and I'm not going to ask a question because I already know mainly what's going on, but I used to get pretty spun up by your shows with this man and your friend up there in North Dakota, Michelle, and Rachel Maddow and all that, but he just said it himself. Mr. Shadwell just said, throw it on the wall and see if it sticks. And they've been coming after Trump since before he started running, and it's just more of the same. It's just blather. And so all you're doing is just trying to stir up people that really aren't even paying attention. I have no idea who Nick Fuentes is. I don't care. And, you know, maybe Trump actually is trying to help Mr. West with some of his personal problems because he supported him. Do you remember Kanye West was in the Oval Office?
Yep.
And they helped get people out of prison? You know, all there is just this hate feeling. And never remember, why don't you go back and look at really what was actually happening?
Danny, I appreciate the call. Dan Shadwell, I got 1 minute to respond to a legitimate argument here.
Okay. Well, this is kind of back to the media just hates Trump, and that's why they have been after him, which is, I think is demonstrably untrue. And all you have to do is just watch what Donald Trump did while he was in office and what he's done since. I mean, he's under investigation for multiple felony violations in the Southern District of New York and the state of Georgia, federal investigations into January 6th. This is a guy who was not an ethical person when he was in business. He cheated on his wife when she was pregnant. I mean, the guy is just, I mean, all you had to do was just give his resume a thorough look from the day that he announced for president originally, which was just a bunch of conspiracy stuff. And, you know, that's where we are.
And Danny, I would remind you that Trump has lost 3 elections in a row now, in part because of the reporting by the media. I believe legitimate reporting. I wish we had more time, but we can only thank Dan Shadwell for another excellent conversation, and we appreciate him joining us. Dan, thanks for your time as always.
Dave, it's my pleasure. Have a great evening.
All right, sir. Thank you. Off we go. News, traffic, weather. Do you need a college degree now to get a job? Should you need a college degree? Sandy Boo is in the house. I'd stick around.
The 920 KBEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slow County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kbec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 0111911.